given for us that we could just come together and worship God together and be encouraged by His Word. If you would turn with me to Deuteronomy 8, verse 10, that would be the starting verse today. There will be a message of thanksgiving. Turn our hearts to God this morning and consider all the bounty He has given to us and thank Him for everything He has done for us physically and then also spiritually. Deuteronomy 8, verse 10, it says, "When thou hast eaten and art full, then thou shalt bless the Lord thy God for the good land which He hath given thee." Let's bow for a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we come before You this morning. Lord, we want to thank You so much for the bountiful provisions You give to us every day. Lord, we enter into a harvest season and we see the fields are ripe and the farmers are reaping in and bringing in the harvest. We just want to thank You for that, Lord. We want to thank You also for the sacrifice that You sent Your Son, Jesus Christ, to pay for our sins, that we can be free from the penalty of sin and death. Lord, I pray You would help us turn our hearts towards You. Many here may already be with their hearts turned towards You in thanksgiving and praise. There might be some that have not yet turned their hearts towards You. Lord, I pray that we could just be encouraged together this morning. We want to worship You. We want to thank You. We want to praise You for the wonderful things that You have done. I pray that You would use me as a vessel, or a weak vessel, that You would just use me. Brothers and sisters here as an encouragement to them, that we can build our faith together. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Deuteronomy 8, verse 10, it says, "When thou hast eaten and art full, then thou shalt bless the Lord thy God for the land which He hath given thee." And just to start with a question I ask, have we eaten and are we full? To start, I want to think physically. Have we eaten and are we filled? And if so, which I believe we are, then let's remember to give God thanks. Let's remember to praise Him for it. Are we thankful? Do we bless God for the provisions that He gives to us? Maybe we're slacking it, maybe we aren't. But at the end of this message, I trust that we can be encouraged to turn our heart towards God, thanking Him for everything He does for us. This message came about because it's the first Sunday of the fall season. And it's a beautiful season. The summer has passed and the harvest has begun. You're starting to see the little children get excited when they see a combine on the field. The little boys are getting all excited. You see the grain just flowing into the wagons. And it's a blessing to see the harvest coming in like that. And year after year, we see that. It's something we look forward to. It's something we expect. And it's something that never lacks. God's always providing. And I want to encourage us all today that when you drive by a field and that you see a farmer harvesting and bringing in the harvest, pray for them. Pray for them that they will have an abundant harvest. Because our blessings are bound up in their blessings. When the children of Israel were carried away into Babylon, they had forgotten about God, they had forsaken God in many ways, and the children of Israel received the just reward of God warned them that he would take them out of their land and they would become captives and strangers in a different land. But God gave them instruction. When they would be carried away as captives into Babylon, God gave them instructions on what to do. And in Jeremiah 29, verse 4, it says, "Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, unto all that are carried away captives, whom I have caused to be carried away captives." When ye enter into Babylon, Build ye houses and dwell in them. Plant gardens and eat the fruit of them. Take ye wives and begat sons and daughters, and take wives for your sons, and give your daughters to husbands, that they may bear sons and daughters, that ye may be increased there and not diminished. And this is the verse that I want to point out. It says, seek the peace of the city, whither I have caused you to be carried away captives, and pray unto the Lord for it, for in the peace thereof ye shall have peace. So in the peace of the city that they were in, they would have peace. So they were encouraged, seek the peace. How can we seek the peace? But we can pray for our neighbors. We can be there to pray to God on their behalf. Many of those around us are not Christians. They're bringing in the harvest, and what better is it for us to maybe even give them a reminder? Praise God for the harvest. I'm praying that we'll have an abundant harvest. I like the way the Complete Jewish Version says, verse 7 of Jeremiah 29. It says, seek the welfare of the city to which I caused you to go into exile, and pray to the Lord on its behalf, for your welfare is bound up in its welfare. So as we enter into the harvest season, I would like for us all to consider the goodness of God for providing for us year after year without fail. And I would also like us to recognize that it may not always be the case. It hasn't been promised us that our physical needs would be met year after year. And yet we have those blessings. Some of you are farmers in here. Thank you for your labors, and I pray and I hope that you all have bountiful harvests. But it hasn't always been promised us that our physical needs will be met. And if it is so that our welfare is bound up in the nation's welfare, that is the welfare of our country, then it would also be so that as our nations fall farther and farther away from God, that God in return would hold back some of those blessings. God may remove some of those abundances of provisions from our lands. And if our welfare is bound up in its welfare, then our poverty would also be bound up in its poverty. And so I believe it's important for us to remember the Lord our God when things go well for us. You know, we truly do live in an abundant land. I just thought about it for a moment. We do live in a very abundant land. Thinking about that and what the Bible says, the fact that we live in such an abundant land is oftentimes the very reason why people forsake God. Because there's such an abundance that people think they don't need God. There's so much provision. And God gives this warning, and he says, if we read further in Deuteronomy 8, there we read verse 10 to 3 to 11, it says, beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God in not keeping his commandments and his judgments and his statutes, which I command thee this day. Lest when thou hast eaten and art full, and hast built goodly houses and dwelt in them, and when thy herds and thy flocks multiply, and thy silver and thy gold is multiplied, and all that thou hast is multiplied, then thine heart is lifted up, and thou forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. So there's a danger for us. There's a danger for the people in this land. There's such an abundance that we may forget God. We don't need him, as many would say, but we know we need him. We know where our provisions come from. Thinking about our abundances, we think about even our location, geographically our location. We are right by the Great Lakes. The largest sources of fresh water in the world are right 10 minutes away. Many might think, well, what can happen? We have such an abundance. Well, Egypt also had a mighty source of fresh water. They had the Nile River. They became rich with all the abundances of water that they could irrigate their crops, and they just prospered. They had so much abundance of water. But in a moment, God took it away. All the waters in Egypt, they became blood. All the life in the Nile River, it became death. And Egypt's life-giving source became a stench of death and decay and rot. And it happened so quickly. So may it never be that we would ask what can happen. And I trust amongst us it doesn't. But unfortunately, in the world, the nations around us, the people around us, the people in our own community, they probably, a lot of them think that way. They take for granted what God has given. And considering what happened in Egypt, it was all because of its leader, Pharaoh. It was because of his defiance of God. And also because of the people's worship of other gods. The people became wicked. They had a god for the sun. They had a god that looked like a frog that was considered a fertility god, and they gave glory to this frog god. They had a god for primordial darkness. And God, the real God, judged them according to their gods. Egypt and overall, they had 1,400 plus gods whom they worshiped. And then finally, the true and almighty God showed who really was God. Who it really was that ruled over all things. You know, one generation earlier, when the whole world suffered a massive famine, Egypt, under Joseph's rulership, under Joseph's leadership, had no lack. Egypt had an abundance that they could feed the world around them. They had plenty for themselves. And then just in a short time, one generation later, under Pharaoh's leadership, Egypt became a land of poverty and stench. So a lot can happen, right? What can happen? We have the Great Lakes. We have so much fresh water that we can water our grass day after day, and everybody in it, there's plenty. A lot can happen. I was thinking about the abundances that we have even globally. Thinking of our greenhouses. How much produce they produce. And then some of the best quality produce in the world is grown right here in our town. Some of the world's leading growers are right here in our county. And the yield is so much more than anything that they can produce in the fields. And it's in an enclosed environment, so where we can control the environment. Maybe the farmers are thinking that too. What can happen? If it gets windy, we're enclosed. If it gets minus 20 degrees weather, we have heat. Again, an abundance of natural resources. We can heat these hundreds of thousands of acres of greenhouses. If it gets rain, we don't need the rain. We have our own irrigation system. Rains bring about disease sometimes. And so it's controlled. If there isn't enough sun, we have grow lights. So much that the farmers can do to protect their crops. And the amount of produce that comes out of our county alone is unreal. it's truly in abundance. We have the largest greenhouse cluster in Windsor Essex County in North America. The largest, the second largest in the world. It employs 15,000 people, and it brings in 3 billion GDP. 3 billion in gross domestic product that comes in just Windsor Essex alone. Is there an abundance? There truly is an abundance. And then the question again, for many may be, what can happen? There's an abundance. A lot can happen. Tomatoes can get diseases. From what I understand, there is a new disease this year that the tomatoes don't ripen. There was a huge loss to many farmers. Peppers can get weevils. A few years ago, I remember the greenhouses stopped building the next year because there was such an infestation of pepper weevils. And I'm not sure who all heard about that, but I know the growers in here, the farm workers in here, they know what I'm talking about. But it was a big deal. Farmers lost their crops. And the next year they didn't build anymore. But instead of building the next year, they invested into these little nets that kept all the bugs out. But I have a hard time believing that that those little nets wouldn't fall off. Because God is in control of that. Think about what happened with Jonah. When Jonah was watching over Nineveh, waiting for its destruction. And it was hot outside, and God caused a gourd in the matter of a day to grow up and become shade for Jonah. And as Jonah was unthankful, and as Jonah was waiting for the destruction of these people, God caused a worm that quickly, and it died. And in the heat of the day, Jonah's complaining, "Why did you kill the gourd?" But we see in this illustration that God is in control of the worm, and God is in control of the plant life, and how it prospers, and how it decreases, and how it diminishes. Cucumbers, they can get mildew. I remember some of you would probably know too, 25 years ago, as a little boy picking cucumbers, mildew was kind of unheard of. They never had that. They did about a crop a season, and now I think they're doing about a crop a month, because the plants die off so fast. So a lot can happen. We live in an abundant land, but let's not forget to give God thanks for the many provisions that He provides for us. We need to remember that God is in control of everything, and He can do exactly as He pleases. So, give Him thanks for the physical blessings He provides for us. We have a saying, it says, you don't know what you have until you lose it. And unfortunately, that's many times our testimony. You have something good, and you don't know it until you lose it, and then you realize, wow, we had it good. So often, we take things for granted. We take the good things for granted that God gives to us. But let's remember the Lord our God when things go well. And so as the farmers are beginning to harvest, let's pray for them. Let's pray for them. They will have a bountiful harvest. And when they do, then let's give God thanks for His bountiful provisions. Over the last few years, when I see the harvesters coming out and I see the grain rolling in, I just shoot my neighbor a text and I say, "Hey, George, I just hope you all have a bountiful harvest." And he says, "Well, this year," he said, "despite the lack of rain, we are very pleased." Oh, praise God. And I guess that's the farmer's testimony. Despite the lack of rain, it was a dry year. They are having a good harvest. And I heard the tomato farmers, they're having a very bountiful harvest. Is that right, Jake? So, good. Good. We want to thank the Lord. And that's one difference, you know, brothers and sisters, between God's people and the ungodly people, is that when God blesses, God's people return to him in thanksgiving. When God's blessings fall upon everyone, it's God's people that return to him and glorify him for his provisions. You know, God's blessings fall upon everyone. But we know that God is the ultimate provider. We know that Jehovah Jireh is our God. God, our provider. Jesus said that God causes the sun to shine on the evil and the good alike. He causes it to rain. He causes the rain to fall on the just and on the unjust. But who will give him thanks when he does that? His people will. And I trust we as his people do. And then, changing it a little bit here, you know, as we give glory to God for the physical abundances he provides for us, then God in return will pour out spiritual blessings upon us. In the Bible, there is an account of 10 people. They were all sinners. They were all sick, like physically ill. They were castaways. Some of you know where I'm going with this. They were castaways because they had an incurable disease that was considered to be a direct plague from God. It was a nasty disease. It was a disease that rotted them from the inside out. It was a disease that infected their nervous system. And it took a long time before they noticed they had it, because eventually their fingers would start getting numb, and their noses would start drooping, and they would start falling off, and they started rotting, literally rotting. They had leprosy. And one day, when Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem, and he passed through a certain village, the Bible says, and he met these men. And from far away they yelled, because they were lepers, from far away they yelled, "Master, have mercy on us." They had obviously heard that Jesus could do miracles. They heard about this master. They heard about this Jesus who could do miracles. And he had healed so many others. He had raised the dead. He had healed the deaf, the lame, the blind. They had heard of all these things, and they believed that Jesus could do this for them too. And so then from far away, Jesus shouts, "Go to the priests." That's all he said. From far away, he yells to the 10 lepers, "Go to the priests." They were supposed to go to the priest because in the Old Testament law, there was a law for a leper that said when a leper thought he might be getting healed, then he was supposed to go to the priest, which acted as a physician. He was supposed to go to the priest, and the priest would inspect him. And he would open up his toes, and he would open up his fingers, and he would inspect them everywhere. And if he would see a white spot, then he was unclean still. And so Jesus says, "Go to the priest." And as they started walking to the priest, they were healed. I wonder what that would have looked like. How far gone were these lepers already? There were 10 of them. Perhaps their fingers were already looking like this. And they're going to the priest, and all of a sudden, they're whole. They're healed. What would that have looked like? 10 out of 10. By the way, never before had a leper actually been healed, except for by God's miracle. Miriam was healed and Naaman was healed, but From what I understand, there was never an actual healing of leprosy that happened. This was a miracle. And then 10 at a time. And then from far away, he yells, "Go to the priest." And they go, and they're healed. This man, Jesus, whom they called upon as master, miraculously healed them. Now I want us to look at that word master. Interesting to note that there's actually in the New Testament, I found four, I didn't study it deep, but I found four words that the New Testament uses for the word master. One of them is Lord, like Lord or near God, divinity. One of them is just a teacher or somebody special. One of them is like a boss at work. And there was another one. But the word that these lepers used when they yelled, "Master, have mercy on us," was not the word Lord. These lepers, they sought a physical healing, not a spiritual healing. And that's okay. It's okay for us to seek for physical healing. If we were leprous, we would do the same. Lord, heal us. Master, heal us. What is not okay is how they saw Jesus. They saw Jesus not as the Messiah. They saw Jesus as some special person who could heal people. And they believed that he could. And so when they used the word master, they were saying, they were talking to somebody who is important. Specifically, they were talking of someone who they thought could heal him, but they did not recognize him as Lord. So these 10, they received what they asked for. They received a blessing. They received their leprosy, the miracle that the leprosy was healed. When never before leprosy had ever been healed. Like I said, except for Miriam and Naaman. Miriam, we remember she gossiped against Moses and she became leprous. And then Moses prayed and God turned it around for Miriam and she became whole. Okay? And Naaman, remember he dipped himself in the river 7 times, which is a symbol of baptism. And how God cleanses us from our sins. But here, Jesus healed them miraculously of their disease, and then 10 at a time. 9 of them rejoiced. Well, I believe they all rejoiced, but 9 of them rejoiced because things went well for them. Perhaps they saw themselves as whole. And they thought, yes, we're going to be allowed back into society again. Let's go to the priest quickly so they can see we're clean. But one turned back and glorified God. One turned back and worshiped Jesus. One person knew that this was the Messiah. One person knew that this was the Son of God. And he bowed down before Jesus and worshiped. Brothers and sisters, I want us all to be that one. And I know that many of us are that one. That one who, when things went well for us, we glorified God and seen Jesus and kneeled before him and surrendered our life. That one who recognized that his physical healing came from the Almighty God, he received more than just a physical healing. that one leper received eternal life through Jesus Christ. And so to be thankful for the physical, and to thank God, and to glorify God, it has a spiritual benefit also. I want to read that account. It's in Luke 17, verse 11. It says there, "And it came to pass, as he went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, Go, show yourselves unto the priest. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God, and fell down at his feet, giving him thanks, and he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God, save this stranger. And he said unto him, Arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. So did all 10 get saved? I believe only one did. They were all healed physically, but only one was made whole through faith in Jesus Christ. Now, this account of the 10 lepers is really an account of every born-again believer. God's blessings fall upon many people, but that doesn't mean that all those people are God's children. That doesn't mean that all those people whom God blesses will turn back and glorify Him. That doesn't mean that all those people whom God blesses will fall down at Jesus' feet and recognize that all these blessings are from God and worship Jesus. No, actually only a very few will do that. Very few people will turn and glorify God and fall at Jesus' feet and worship Him. Those that are called His children are the ones who will understand it. Those that are called His children are the ones who really will be blessed. They are the ones who really recognize where all these physical blessings come from. They recognize who it really is that provides for them. They recognize that it's an almighty God, that it's our Father in heaven, and that it's the very one who's created us. And it's the very one whom we've come short of the glory of. The Bible says all have come short of the glory of God. And that's the very one who blesses us. And we also recognize that God wants so much more for us than just an abundance of physical blessings. God wants to restore our relationship back with Him. God wants to restore what's been lost. There's more than just physical things that God wants with us. He wants us to be eternally with Him again. You know, God wants to make a deal with us. Isaiah 1:18 says, Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. That's what God wants. See, now we truly have something to be thankful. When we are thankful for the physical blessings, then we receive the spiritual blessings. If we are faithful in the little things, then we will be faithful in the greater things. Be as faithful, he that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in that which is much. Namely, the true eternal riches. When we consider the text of the temple, I want us to think about it. I want us to also look at the fact that these 10 lepers were us in the fact that we were all sinners. And leprosy is an exact picture of sin, a physical picture of sin. Only healed by the miracle of God. Only God can accept our sin and wash away our sin. Only Jesus could cleanse those lepers. Only Jesus could forgive our sins. Wash away that plague of sin in our life. Cause us to be worthy to be in the congregation of God's people. Only Jesus can do that. Leprosy is a picture of sin in that it decays. I heard of a testimony or a story of a man who had leprosy, and it had gotten so far already. His fingers and his members and everything was starting to warp and fall off, and his fingers, some of them that were left, they were numb. And as he was sleeping, the rats were eating his fingers. And when he woke up, there you had the rats eating his fingers, and he didn't even notice it. Leprosy decayed. It was death while they were walking. Sin is the same thing. It decays. If we are not cleansed from our sins, brothers and sisters, then we are dead while we are walking. It rots from the inside, from the soul. It decays. And yet Jesus, as he cleansed the lepers, he cleanses the sinners. And we can be made whole through faith in him. Leprosy is a picture of sin in that the lepers were required to live outside of the camp of Israel. That's why Jesus, when he entered into the village, it was right at the border where he found these lepers, because they were not allowed to be amongst the other Israelites, amongst the other people. They were castaways. They were not allowed to be amongst God's people. And Israel was a picture of God's people at that time. They were not allowed to engage in any ceremonial worship. They weren't allowed to come to the synagogue to worship God. They were castaways. They were unclean. Sin does the same thing for us. It separates us from God's people. Conscientiously, a sinner doesn't want to be with God's people. Literally, sin will separate us from God and God's people. It will blind us. It will cause us to be numb towards spiritual things. It will cause us to be deaf towards the Word of God. And finally, it will separate us from God eternally. Leprosy is a physical picture of what sin does to all of humanity. It corrupts the inner man, and it makes him unclean and unfit to serve God. And it makes him unclean and unfit to be amongst God's people. Everyone is a leper at one point in time in their life. Everyone is a leper. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And Jesus Christ is the only one who can heal it. Jesus Christ came to cleanse the lepers. Jesus shed his blood and gave his life for sinners. Christ died for the Christ died, the just for the unjust, not by the blood of goats and rams, but by his own blood, entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. When we think about that, and I know many of us have experienced that, and we know we are cleansed lepers. And we know we are the one cleansed leper who bowed down at Jesus' feet and worshiped. When we think about that, then we have truly something to be thankful for. When we realize that we were the 10 lepers, not the 10 lepers, the one leper. When we realize that we were the one leper, not only were we cleansed, but we were blessed spiritually. We've seen our need. We glorify God for sending a remedy. And we fall down at Jesus' feet. And we shout glory to God at the cleansing of our sins. Then we have something truly to be thankful for. In closing, I want us to realize that perhaps there are some of the 9 lepers amongst us today. Maybe there are those who aren't thankful for the many things that God has done for them day by day, who aren't thankful for the physical blessings that God bestows upon them day by day. And I want to speak to you. I want to say, before you go your way away from Jesus, the one who bestows blessings on the just and the unjust, consider who it is that day by day provides and cares for you. And give glory to God because he is worthy of you. You know, when I say it that way, he is worthy of you. And I'm speaking to the 9 lepers that received the blessings but haven't received the Lord. When I say to you that he is worthy of you, what does that imply? That implies that you are very special, very important, and he is worthy of you. That implies that you are worth something to him because he is worthy of it. So often I believe those that have not received the Lord, they may think of themselves, or you may think of yourself as somebody, maybe you think of yourself as a rebel, maybe you think of yourself as somebody unimportant, somebody God doesn't care for, somebody that is just in the way. But he is worthy of you. And he died for you. And I would ask you to glorify God and fall down at Jesus' feet and worship. Because he wants more for you than just physical things. He wants more for you than just physical blessings. But he desires to be eternally with you, to take care of you more than just physically, but eternally. And for those of us who have been washed in the blood of Christ, for those of us who have received Jesus as their Lord and Savior, you were the one who turned back and glorified God. You are a cleansed leper that's been made whole through your faith in Jesus Christ. Praise God. Let's never forget that. You were, as it were, hopeless, inwardly corrupted. But Christ has cleansed you and made you fit to serve God. Every born again believer. God has saved you, and you are worthy to dwell amongst his people and serve him in his people. By God's grace, your testimony. This is your testimony. Now that's something to be thankful for. And so we started off the message thinking about all the physical things, and we're entering into harvest, but let's also remember that God provides for us physically, God provides for us spiritually. We have many things to be thankful for. And may he receive the honor and glory that is due to him. God bless you all.